Part 3, Words and Traditions. Reference to the Sanskrit classics, such as the Vedas and Upanishads, is particularly useful because their metaphysical foundation is well preserved and the terminology is familiar to those who have studied philosophy and comparative religion. Brahman and Atman, for example, refer to the universal spirit and the individual spirit, or universal consciousness and individual consciousness. In the non-dualism of Advaita Vedanta, the Atman, our spirit and seat of consciousness, is an integral part of Brahman, much like how a ring on a sphere is an integral part of the sphere. The ring is a full dimension less than the sphere and has no reality whatsoever without the sphere. In the Hebrew mystical tradition of the Kabbalah, the equivalent to Brahman is called Ein Sof, the Endless One. It should be understood that the underlying principles are universal and are the same for all spiritual traditions. Similarly, all bioforms that happen to share our universe are, by necessity, part of the same universal life force that we are. This becomes obvious as the higher dimensional realities and essential oneness of the universe are understood. The state of reality represented by Brahman transcends even the creator god, Brahma, and contains all three aspects of the Hindu trinity, the Trikaya, within itself. Brahman is simultaneously Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, creator, preserver, transformer, while remaining unchanged. I would like to insert a sidebar here. First, note the difference between the Sanskrit words Brahman and Brahma. Brahman is a neuter noun, while Brahma is a masculine noun, even though, metaphysically, Brahma does not have an actual gender. Next, Shiva, which historically has been represented as either male or female, is often called the destroyer, as you may have read in other texts. This does not mean that Shiva actually destroys anything. Instead, as the cosmic dance of the universe, Shiva is that state of reality where the present moment dissolves into the past and thus no longer exists. The present is continuously transformed into the past, so as the cosmic dance, Shiva is the transformer. Shiva the destroyer can also be thought of as the opposite side of Brahma the creator. They are a polarity of the one reality, Brahman. And Vishnu the preserver, as the ever-changing present, is the plane of that polarity. The key point here is that the three-bodied Trikaya represents three qualities of the one reality and are never actually separate as such. Obviously, this requires an understanding which goes beyond the idea of theological deities with bodies toward purely abstract mystical principles. As represented by the simple geometric beauty of the Roman pantheon, a higher truth underlies all the anthropomorphized body forms of theology. Recognizing this more abstract level of spiritual understanding as being more real is called non-theism, which is not atheism, and is characteristic of Buddhism, for example, and metaphysics in general. Metaphysically understood, the Trikaya represents the creation process, which is happening continuously. All stages of the creation process exist simultaneously, just as all higher dimensions of physics exist simultaneously. Even though Western scenarios tend to express creation as a time-bound process, such as in Genesis and the Big Bang Theory, it is important to keep in mind that the creation process is continuous. This is indicated in a line from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This infinite fullness, the visible universe, shines forth from that infinite fullness, the invisible Brahman. Vedic and Kabbalistic texts do speak of pre-creation states of being as part of a system of cycles within cycles covering eons of time. Throughout all the cycles, throughout all the days and nights of Brahma, Brahman, along with the life force of its creative essence, remains unchanged. The metaphysics of non-dualism recognizes the underlying polarity which creates a trikaya as more fundamental, more real. In this way, duality is recognized as an expression of polarity, and the illusion of separateness is transcended. For example, the duality of the positive and negative electric charges arises from the polarity of the electric force field, a single reality and a more fundamental level of reality. The polarity inherent in the trikaya is actually the creative property of Brahman itself, and as a direct result, it is also inherent within Atman. This polarity within Atman is the essence of our force of spirit and is the source of individual consciousness. Its threefold nature manifests in the past, present, and future experience of time. The interaction between Brahman and Atman creates the field of creation around us. The geometric relationship between Brahman and Atman and how it initiates the emergence of a diverse creation from the one reality is called sacred geometry. Ancient Sanskrit has metaphysically descriptive expressions for the trikaya and the way in which it manifests, such as in the three modes of existence, sattva, rajas, and tamas, and in the word satchitananda, a combination of three Sanskrit words meaning being, consciousness, bliss, or existence, consciousness of existence, and love of existence, all inseparable aspects of Brahman. In Western terms, and in the language of metaphysical philosophy, the Greek word logos has been used to refer to the creative property of the transcendental mythos. By definition, logos, om, the word, is the perfect expression of mythos and is therefore also known as the ideal object of meditation. Logos is the first cause of creation. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, Christian Bible, as well as the creative polarity which defines the laws of physics and makes everything happen. We experience it constantly. With the creation process recognized as continuous, the philosophical notion of first cause does not refer to a time-bound phenomenon that happened in the past, but rather to the timeless, continuous and unchanging, creative cause of the universe. At the metaphysical level, logos has the intrinsic property of polarity, the dynamic essence of force, the perfect expression of mythos. The realization of logos in its transcendental wholeness implies the existence of the otherwise unknowable mythos. Geometrically thinking, if logos was a sphere, mythos would be its central point. Without the sphere, the central point is unknowable. At the same time, the sphere cannot exist without a central point. As metaphysical principles, mythos and logos are equivalent to the first and second bodies of the trikaya, inseparable aspects of the one reality. With this in mind, we can better understand the rest of that line from John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Another quick sidebar here. The English version of the Christian Bible was translated from the Greek version. In the Greek version, the word logos is the word that was used for the Word. In Sanskrit, logos is called the Dharmakaya, the perfect embodiment of divine law, or divine will. In its transcendental wholeness, it is universal consciousness and the life force of the universe, as well as the ethereal seed syllable of creation, known as Aum. We will close part 3 with an excerpt from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, We heard a line from this Upanishad earlier, and this excerpt will contain that line and the surrounding text. That the invisible Brahman is full, infinite. This, the visible Brahman, is full. This full, visible Brahman, proceeds from that full, invisible Brahman. On grasping the fullness of this full, visible Brahman, there is left that full, invisible Brahman. Aum is the Akasha Brahman, the timeless primeval Akasha, life force. It is also the manifest Akasha, the physical forces of the universe. This, Aum, is the Veda, the means of knowledge. Thus the knowers of Brahman know. One knows through it all that has to be known.